Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I'm still getting over this cold, so excuse me as I try and work my way through this with a sore throat. If the audio's choppy today, it's because my editing is going to require that I take pauses mid-sentence to hack up a lung and then cut that out. So hopefully you can bear with me and be patient. I didn't want to just not record this week. I think there's a lot going on, and it's important to keep throwing it out there. So yeah, thanks for sticking with me and thanks for being here. I am a homeowner, and Kellen and I talked, I don't know if frequently is the right word, but on and off, we talked kind of about our experiences and what it took to become homeowners and how we were very lucky to hit the timing right. My first home, I was part of a government program essentially that helped you to learn to construct your own home. And there was just a lot to that. Without those things, I likely would not have been in a home for a very long time, if at all. And I would have, I'm lucky to be at a place now where I have an income where I probably could have bought a home, but I would have certainly felt like I was overpaying, taking on a huge financial burden for, a starter home. And that's not how it's always been. Throughout much of the history of the world in the U.S., right, you could buy a home, you could afford to pay the mortgage on that home and on a couple of vehicles, and buy groceries and all of those things for, at a reasonable rate. A minimum wage job could allow you to live that way. We are no longer in that world, and it is rapidly getting worse. Many studies have come out in the previous years showing that many millennials, for example, don't believe they will ever get to purchase a home, and we will likely see that increase quite a bit into the new generations coming afterwards. Homeownership is one of the most stressful parts of my life. I am constantly concerned about my ability to continue paying the mortgage and what might happen if I were to lose my job. The fear of losing a home, right? Of going bankrupt or being homeless, or, in our case, we have support, so we could live with parents or something like that. But it's a constant concern. And I know many parts of the world, it is normal for people to stay with their parents in a multi-generational household. And culturally, somehow we have made that taboo here in the U.S., which is unfortunate, and it needs to be reversed, and it likely will be, as people are left with no other options. Unfortunately, in today's day and age with politics, many people don't get that choice because they are not on speaking terms with family because of political divides, which is an interesting aspect to it. Well, anyway, all of that is to say, there was a very interesting self-post in the Our Collapse subreddit forum, which highlights an article from The Independent. And they did a new study in which they found that nearly half of American homeowners want to relocate in 2026 because of extreme weather and other climate concerns. The subheading says, "Climate is driving decisions about where people live, and the rising cost of homeownership are changing when and how people buy homes." This is a study done by Kin Insurance. I think one of the most fascinating parts to this is that the main thing it talks about here is climate concerns. I know many people who are considering moving. Hey, myself included, would love to get out of the country if I could, right? In order to avoid much of the political concerns and the rapidly changing environment. But the fact that nearly half of those, at least, that were surveyed here talked about having this desire to leave not the country, but at least their current home, and primarily due to fear of damage to that home due to the climate. So let's read through some of this. "A rising number of American homeowners are ready to relocate this year due to extreme weather events and other climate-related concerns. Some 49% of those who own a house are considering moving in 2026 due to climate events, according to a survey of 1,000 American adults by insurance provider Kin Insurance. Also a concern among homeowners is the rising cost of homeownership," the study noted. Quote, "Kin uncovered that climate is driving decisions about where people live, and the rising cost of homeownership are changing when and how people buy homes. The study also found that nearly all homeowners are concerned about severe weather damaging their homes. Sometimes these articles, I feel like, repeat themselves so many times. Kin's survey found that within the 49% of homeowners who want to move, 19% definitely are considering it, while 30% are somewhat considering it. Some 45% said they were not considering a move. As for how far away they want to move, they broke up the respondents' intentions into three groups. Moving within their current city or community, which was 41%, moving to a different city or community in their state, 35%, or moving to another state entirely, 25%. That 60% considering a move would relocate outside of their current city or community is a trend confirmed in the aftermath of the 2025 Los Angeles wildfires. Quote, last year, homeowners who suffered catastrophic losses in the Los Angeles wildfires followed a similar pattern when they ended up in neighborhoods at least a half hour's drive away from their previous homes. Which, I mean, with Los Angeles traffic, half an hour is like a quarter mile. I'm just being facetious, but don't know how far you could get in half an hour. For those considering a move to another state, more than half of respondents wanted to avoid disaster-prone states like Florida and California and preferred to move to what they perceived as low-risk states, including Vermont, New Hampshire, Delaware, and Connecticut. Whether they're considering a move or not, nearly all, 93%, of American homeowners are concerned about extreme weather and expect it to damage their homes over the next 3 years, specifically due to a changing climate. Now, I don't think what they're saying here is that 93% of people believe in climate change, because I don't think that's true, but 93% of people do recognize that severe weather is increasing and that it does have the ability to impact their homes. For that many people to say that they expect it to damage their homes over the next 3 years is extraordinary. I don't know that I would say that. I don't know that I would say, just based on where I live, that I expect climate change to damage my home in the next 3 years. It's possible, but it surprises me that 93% of people would say that. It says those fears ranged from extremely concerned to slightly concerned. And maybe this is a more appropriate breakdown. Extremely concerned, 16%, very concerned, 33%, moderately concerned, 29%, and slightly concerned, 15%. So I guess if there was even slight concern, which you could probably put me in that camp, then that's where the 93% comes from. And lastly, additionally, it says 68% of homeowners believe that they'll experience more extreme weather events this year compared to last year. Now, interestingly, a huge number of homes in the U.S. are owned by people who have them on very low interest rates because they refinanced or bought during the decade or so, I guess, depending on the time frame, right, between 2010 and 2020. Those people do not want to lose their low interest rates, essentially doubling their mortgage or, you know, adding 50% to their mortgage, whatever it might be, going from a 2.8% interest rate up to a 6 or a 7% interest rate. You also lose some value out of your house when you move, right? From paying realtor fees and closing costs and all of that. And it's just a huge hassle. I've been through a few moves in the last few years and I do not want to do it again. So it's interesting to note that while so many people want to move, not many of them will do it and end up feeling stuck. And that's where we get back into this whole loop. And this loop, I think, is one of the biggest threats, the biggest canaries in the coal mine to watch. And this article is just an interesting start to that. So it starts here where people get antsy about where they live because of climate change. Whether they're willing to admit that it's climate change or not, they recognize that severe weather is increasing and it's impacting their home. This gives them concern about safety, right? The safety of their family and loved ones. It gives them financial concerns about having to cover the cost of the insurance deductibles of any of their private goods that aren't insured, right? Or if their home itself may not be insured or insured for all of the different things. Many people are not insured for fire or flooding, right? Now, this fear will cause some of them to move and some of them will not be able to because of the reasons that we just mentioned, and plus many other reasons why people may not be able to move, right? They are glued to their communities for work or family, disability. There's just so many things. So the ones who do move and move out of these areas cause real estate prices to decrease in those areas if people aren't moving into them. So you might have an increase in exodus from a city that might be especially impacted by climate change. Let's say Miami, Florida. You might have less people now moving into Miami. So the population of that area starts to decrease. The demand on homes starts to decrease. And the value of those homes decreases with it. Meanwhile, you have people who aren't able to leave, so they stay stuck there. And then funny things start to happen to insurance, right? Insurance companies start to say, we can't afford to be in this area. Things are flooding way too often. Things are catching on fire way too often. There's too much damage from wind events. There's too much damage from hurricanes, from whatever it might be. And then, as we're seeing, those insurance companies start to drop those areas and say, we simply will not cover homes here. Or they say, we won't cover flooding in homes here. Maybe they stick around, but rates rise. So now the people who are forced to stay there or who are on the edge of deciding whether or not to leave are experiencing an increase in costs due to their insurance rates going up, which enforces the cycle of more people that can leaving and those who can't staying. There's also an interesting part of this cycle where people who don't believe in climate change or who aren't paying attention might take advantage of the lower home prices now and move in, right? But they are then solidifying themselves into the same cycle. They're putting themselves under the same burden now of having to face the consequences of those decisions as their homes do get damaged more and more frequently due to natural disasters. And so it becomes this thing then, right, where we're seeing this in many places due to wildfires and flooding, the insurance companies up and leave, and it becomes the government's job to take over and supply an insurance option for that. And those insurance options are often very expensive. They're not very convenient, and it's overall a poor choice for those people, but the only one that they have to make. So really not much of a choice at all. But what happens when mortgage companies, and this is the canary in the coal mine, the big, once this starts happening, we know that there's trouble. What happens when the mortgage companies say to someone new coming to an area, I would like to buy my home here, and the bank says, no, I can't give you a 30-year mortgage on this home because we don't, number one, insuring it is going to be ridiculously difficult, and number two, we're worried that in 15 years or in 10 years, we're not going to have any collateral. The asset itself may not be standing, right? Or the value of that asset may decrease so much because everybody's leaving that we're not able to reclaim the value when you also end up defaulting or leaving or whatever it may be. From what I can tell, we're not to that point yet where banks have either wisened up to that or they don't feel that the threat is there. Right? There's money to be made by getting into the mortgage now. It's not in their face enough for them to refuse to do the mortgage on that house. And it's very possible or probable that they're already past their time where they probably should have stopped giving mortgages in some of these areas. Mortgages today that's a 30-year mortgage are not going to be paid off until 2056. And if Trump gets his way with 50-year mortgages, 2076. Do you think that a house on Miami Beach is going to be standing there 50 years from now in 2076? All right. Anyway, I found this survey just particularly interesting to get a grasp of the number of people who are concerned about these things as homeowners. Whether or not this is demonstrative of the feeling overall for all Americans, I'm not sure, but at least in this sample, right, it was a very high number of people concerned about the well-being of their home and their financial situation due to these disasters. Now, if we think these numbers are high now, just wait, right, for a few more years as we approach 2 degrees Celsius of warming. I think what we've seen up to this point is sporadic but increasing frequency of natural disasters. We're starting to see that in some areas, those are becoming particularly more frequent, right? So again, Southern California is a very dangerous place to be for wildfire. Florida, Southern Florida, along the Gulf Coast, very dangerous place to be for hurricanes. What we haven't seen, but will likely start seeing more in the next several years, is those areas becoming so frequently affected by these things, right? Or the heat becoming so unbearable in places like Arizona or in the South with its humidity, that the place literally becomes unbearable to be in. Whether it be the constant anxiety over what hurricane is going to hit us this year, or the constant fear of if the power grid goes down again, I cannot survive another week of 100 degrees with the level of humidity we've been experiencing, or the never-ending crippling fear of a fire could start any moment and engulf my home, or I could just be evacuated yet another time, and I'm having to pay X $100 per month just to have the insurance tell me that they'll cover my house should I survive the incident to be able to rebuild again somewhere else? Well, no. At some point, these people are just going to say, I will not live in this place anymore. I am going to live somewhere else. And we'll experience all sorts of interesting secondary effects, right, from those migrations. Some areas of the world and of this country, you know, just keeping with what we're talking about here specifically, are going to thrive for a while. And some are going to suffer, right? Talking about all these people moving to the Northeast, it talked about Connecticut and New Hampshire and Vermont, Delaware. Those places could become booming more than they already are, some of them, cities and states. Economies could really thrive and grow there. People who already own homes in those areas are going to see their home values skyrocket. Meanwhile, we just talked about, you know, the Great Salt Lake, and people who live in that area may experience in the coming decade or decades a severe drop in their home value. Equity that they've perhaps built up over the course of a decade or multiple decades disappears as everyone's just trying to leave to not get poisoned. Anyway, there's just, it's going to be a very, I think, interesting dynamic to see if I could look at the year 2060 or 2050, if, you know, if society is still functioning at that point, where is everybody? What is the dynamic of housing in the U.S.? And you can ask similar questions based on where you live. You know, what has changed for you in the UK or in Australia or France or Germany or New Zealand or Canada, South America, Africa, you know, wherever you are. What I've just described is going to play out in various ways and in various intensities throughout the world. And in, of course, many ways, much worse than what the U.S. will experience just from what we've talked about here. The mass migrations that will happen out of the equatorial belt, sub-Saharan Africa, other places that are going to be heavily impacted by heat, many parts of India. We're talking about the parts of the world here that houses the vast majority of the human population being forced to flee, and where will they go? We work so hard to model climate change, right? And how the climate will change over time, what effects that will have. Has anybody modeled what mass migration will look like? You know, run 1,000 simulations on not just where people will leave from and where they will go, but what are the secondary, tertiary, what are all the ongoing effects that cascade from that happening? I don't know. Maybe one day we'll get models that show that, and maybe one day we'll just have to watch it happen live. All right, thanks for being here. See you tomorrow.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.